Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Aftermath. My name is Ian, and as always, I'm joined by Dylan.
Y'all motherfuckers better get ready to crumble.
We got another.
Because he's back.
We got ourselves another Godzilla episode.
Mm-hmm. The long-awaited.
I love these movies.
They're the best.
They're the best.
Primo. I can't not enjoy them.
Yeah. And I believe it was during the last episode I think we were recording, or it was sometime during what we were watching, that I was like, well, it's been a while since we've watched a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, that was last episode.
It was last episode, or I forgot what it was. Either we made a reference or we saw something. I forgot what sparked it.
Right.
But I was like, it's been a minute since we've watched a Godzilla movie. And you're like, I think that may be the next one.
Yeah, you're in luck.
And there you are.
We just so happen to have at least like 12.
There you go.
Left to get through.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has a bit of a run-on sentence.
A wee bit, yeah.
Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. What is it? Oh, I forgot.
Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
Or GMK for short.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, Ian.
Yes.
Of the many designs that you've seen for the Big G.
Okay.
How do you feel about this one?
I don't mind it. I like it. It feels, for a practical suit, and for like the iterations that I've seen of Godzilla in the past. I may have said this already whenever you showed me this.
Yeah.
Because this is the Millennium suit, is that right?
Or it's in the Millennium series, but it's
technically not.
No, I mean it's like a one off. It's one of the few one off designs he's had.
Interesting.
But it harkens back to like the Heisei era, as opposed to the new like sleek and sharp, edged version of him.
I like it. The thing I noticed on it was like the teeth look really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The teeth kind of had like a bit of a I don't want to say a glossy, but it had more of a like shiny. It's one of those things I never noticed on the other suits until I saw it on this suit. I was like, those teeth look awfully real.
Yeah, very prominent.
Very, very like, but it had a shinier coat than like the more matte scales did. Right. And I was like, I never noticed that like the other suits didn't have that.
Right.
But I was like, that's a nice touch that this one did have.
He had a whitening before this.
Yeah.
Film.
He did a good before he started shooting.
Brushed his teeth with a submarine.
Yeah. That and then like I like that. I like, and then I also don't like his eyes.
Yeah. Okay. This is the main draw for me.
He's got his like these like hazy like glossed out eyes that like that's almost glow, but it kind of comes across as like a reflective.
Yeah.
Feeling, which is kind of cool, and the reason why I feel like it glows is because like Mothra has the same vibe, but like Mothra's eyes glow like
she got them like big purple. Old eyes,
and they like glow purple. And this is the first time I feel like I've seen. Again, there may have been like a special effect that made them glow, but like this is the first time where I was like, I think there was like a practical light behind the eyes that like made them glow,
probably.
And you get and it felt real, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. I out of the Mothra designs, I was like, this is a really cool looking Mothra.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot. Yeah. But for Godzilla, it made it feel a little less. Which I guess it plays into the kind of vibe of this movie. Like, this is one of the, I want to say few for me, because I don't think I've seen very many Godzilla movies where he's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's much more portrayed the good guy.
Right.
And I think this is one of
either
the...
Either straight up good guy or just
neutral.
Yeah.
Right. Which,
planet defender.
Exactly.
Not
right.
Necessarily people.
Yeah. And exactly. And I guess that's more what I mean. Mm. And whenever he's playing that neutral role, he's still like, this is my territory. And, you know, I'm guarding this area.
Fuck off.
But so I think he's kind of painted as the bad guy in this perspective.
Oh, definitely. The way they explain it is that Godzilla himself is a physical manifestation of the anger and rage of the deceased civilians and soldiers from World War II.
Damn.
Yeah. Who are fucking pissed that everybody's forgotten about their suffering and sorrows, apparently. Mm-hmm. Which is metal as all hell.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Right. And it really comes like, because he is straight, he's evil.
Yeah.
Like, he's more destructive than I feel he usually is. At first, it seems like he's just like moseying through town in some other films, but no, he's like actively just destroying shit for the fun of it.
Exactly.
The one scene where he first comes ashore and this girl is like in the hospital with her leg in a cast.
Yeah.
And it's like hooked up to the bed. She can't move. And she just sees him walking towards the building. And it's like, well,
yep,
that's it. You're dead.
There you go.
And then he just walks past it for a second, and she's like breathes a sigh of relief, like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm gonna survive this.
Yeah.
And the next shot is of the window and his tail slowly coming into view. He just fucking destroys that specific floor where she was bedridden.
Wow, what a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Insult to injury.
But I bring that up, the fact that I bring the whole conversation, the fact that he's evil in this film up because of the fact that, like, his eyes not being present and then being like
has no pupils,
like a white haze over them, gives it this kind of like, I almost want to say zombie feel,
right?
Where there's no
is the DBZ Broly,
right? Universe. Is it there's no pupils, there's no like, so it feels like it feels like Godzilla, but it feels like this, like, haunted incarnation of Godzilla. Mm. So it's really interesting. For me, it was a cool delineation where I was like, I can see Godzilla, but it doesn't feel like the Godzilla I know. It feels like this kind of, it feels like this, like, off version of him, where it's like this kind of twisted, evil, sinister kind of one, which, you know, which I think is interesting.
It's a neat concept.
Right. And that's what came across when I, like, when you see his face and, like, he turns and he just has, like, these stark white eyes.
And he's just like, oh, God.
And again, it's one of those things I never thought about the other suits until I'm looking at this one. I'm like, why is he so terrifying looking?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because he doesn't have any eyes.
Like, it's a horror movie.
What? Yeah. Like,
every time he's on screen, the Godzilla's Rage track plays, at least the specific version of it. And it is the most, like, about as imposing as you'd like it to be.
Yeah.
At one point, they add, like, these high-strung, like, violins.
Yeah.
Just to add to the effect, and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then with that, I've also never seen King Ghidorah as like, a pseudo-good guy.
Right. His one and only depiction as not an asshole.
Nice.
He's considered like an earth monster, like a guardian.
Right.
I'm like, how the fuck?
Yeah, how'd you get that?
He was strictly an alien invader for like the longest time, and now he's just our side.
Which one was the one where I hated those little creatures.
The fucking Dorats?
No, Dorat. I hated those old, and I never put two and two together until like I saw them, and I was like,
God, that was
me. He's gonna, King Ghidorah is a...
These little things are golden and have little wings but no arms.
Yeah.
And there are three of them.
Yeah. Just never really thought about it until all of a sudden I really thought about it. And I was like,
there's like, oh, no fucking way.
Don't tell me that he's an amalgamation of three pests. Yeah. So anyways. Yep. But which one was that one, the movie?
That was the Heisei, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
Got it. Okay. How interesting. Yeah. But for this movie, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The depiction of all these different characters.
Yeah. How about that Baragon?
He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say he's cute?
I mean,
in a fucked up sort of way. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
as far as monsters go, yeah. As opposed to like the you know, the gaunt, soulless eyes of Godzilla. Right. Yeah, definitely.
the ancient monster rocking the dad bod.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a gut on him.
The funny thing is, like, I like that the suit it folded around the neck in a kind of a strange way.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Right.
It's
but just,
it's weird.
It's just a little weird. Yeah. It just feels a little off.
Mm-hmm.
The other suits don't.
Right. Everything else looks fine.
Right.
I'm not used to seeing Ghidorah so small or like his wings not as prominent.
Right.
Because whenever he's like getting into it, he starts off on the ground.
Yeah.
And is just running towards Godzilla. And you see his wings like just folded down.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks weird.
It does.
he's like, I mean, it still looks cool.
Right.
As soon as he is like up in the air, it looks a lot better. But I mean, it's holy shit.
I mean, yeah.
And he's usually like much bigger than Godzilla on average. Yeah. But in this movie, they're like the same size.
I like the suit design of King Ghidorah in this in this film. I think it was very
different,
but it was an interesting take though.
Yeah.
And again, like I was saying just a second ago, all the other suits feel, you know, pretty nice, like normal. They don't kind of fold weird.
Right.
But I think it was because the Godzilla suit, I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. It could be how they shot it. It could be a number of things that I don't understand. Some of the other suits feel a little more stiff, a little more heavy, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they also slow down the footage to make it feel a little more weighty.
Right.
But there's straight up one scene where where Godzilla starts like kind of charging. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, it looks like a dude. The suit looks a little lighter.
Yeah.
Or maybe the footage wasn't slowing down enough. I don't know what the cause was.
Yeah.
But like, he starts booking it, and I was like, bro. Like
barreling towards the camera, like, what the fuck? Yeah,
I've never seen Godzilla run like that before.
You never see him run like ever.
Right, exactly.
It's crazy.
Usually he lumbers.
Right.
Or, you know, he stomps.
It's a slow advance.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a tropical storm.
Yeah.
But,
right.
This dude was booking it.
I was going to say, he starts running. I'm like,
terrifying. He's like, holy shit.
Because he also, I forgot what you said. He said something about like, he's built like,
I forgot. Oh, fuck. What did I say?
He got thighs on him and he's like running and you're like.
Right, he put on a few pounds.
I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like I said, it just
like
felt,
a waddle.
Right. It wasn't bad, but it just felt a little, just off enough where you're like, what is, this is so, not Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
Yeah, which is cool. But, this is
the first. But yeah, on the subject of Little Baragon.
Yeah,
I do mean little.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is what I would describe as a reptilian gopher.
Yeah,
the most least threatening.
Yeah, you could say that
creature I could imagine fighting Godzilla. Now, he puts up a fight,
right?
There's not much he can do. He can burrow under the ground. He trips Godzilla up in like a pothole for a bit, and then he just gnaws on his arm for a little while. After which, Godzilla just like straight up throws him into the ground.
Yeah,
and starts kicking him while he's down.
Doesn't. Am I mistaken in that? Doesn't Baragon kind of get the short end of the stick?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's not a fair matchup at all.
Not just in the movie, but like in general. Like, doesn't he not get good not get good depictions usually? Or is there another one that doesn't?
I want to say you might be thinking of Mothra, as far as like reputation goes, at the very least. See. Because, I mean, this is only Baragon's, like, second appearance at all.
Okay. Got it.
There was one film, like, way back when, I think Destroy All Monsters featured him for a bit.
I think Baragon is what I'm thinking of, and I think it's just because there's just not a lot of movies with Baragon in it.
Right.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Barely anything.
Right. But, and the one that the Baragon is in gets kind of thrown around by Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a ragdoll for the rest of it. Unfortunately.
Sucks. Yeah.
But he's a little trooper.
Yeah.
And I like him.
It's pretty cool.
And but 5 seconds later, he gets obliterated by Godzilla's atomic breath.
Of course. You're like, damn. Okay.
Like, man, that sure was cool while it lasted.
And man, they go up in flames.
Oh, yeah. They explode.
They explode big time. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. There's no sizzling or burning. No. Like, it was just some third degree shit. No, that,
nah,
that,
nah.
That is terminal.
Yeah.
Terminal radiation. Known to cause explosions.
Hey, yo, I fought Godzilla and I got some terminal shit on me now.
If you step within like 30 meters of the motherfucker's area, you'll be dead. 50 years will be taken off your life.
Damn. Yeah, you're right. That's crazy. I just like the term, that shit's terminal. That's
right,
good.
Exactly. There's no other way to describe it. That is fatal.
Going thermonuclear and actually blowing up
your
whole entire body, that's definitely terminal.
The effects are not slow. They're immediate. Do not linger.
Right.
Or you won't.
No step.
Exactly.
But, that's good.
I think I'd like Mothra just as a separate tangent, a lot more if she wasn't constantly punching above her weight class.
Mm.
Again, that's why I like her most of the time. She's right. She's a go-getter.
Right.
Gonna do her job no matter what, you know, or whoever she's fighting.
Right.
Just, I mean, imagine, like, you're this all-powerful invader from space ready to conquer a planet, and this fucking moth, maybe even a worm, shows up to fight you, and you're like, what is this? This is it?
This is it?
I mean, shit. It's gonna fight me regardless, but damn. I'm gonna feel real bad the next, like, 2 seconds it takes.
Right.
Ugh. But yeah.
I like Mothra in some of the depictions.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you ought to... Thankfully, I've got the Rebirth of Mothra movies.
Oh?
Which are a lot better.
Okay.
She actually does shit.
Nice.
And it works.
I definitely feel bad for Mothra. A lot of times each depiction that she's in, it's always kind of the diversion.
Mm-hmm. She always dies.
The scapegoat. Exactly. To get to the other...
Mm-hmm. If she makes an appearance, it may just be an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But... if she sticks around, it's curtains.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're right. Every like, time.
Like, it's the same deal in Final Wars. Whenever Gigan shows up to tag team Godzilla with Monster X,
yeah,
she just flies out of her island like, all right, here I go.
Yep. This is it.
And she dukes it out with Gigan for a bit and, of course, is exploded.
Yeah.
But not before he kills himself with his own, like, buzzsaw blades.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And he just turns around... his head falls off, and then she just rams into him and explodes.
Yeah.
I'm like, A for effort.
I said it during the film. I was like, I'm pretty sure that Mothra is in just a constant cycle of death and rebirth.
Right. That's one of her main shticks.
Right. Just an ever continuing cycle.
Right. You can put her down, but she'll come back.
Oh, yeah. She'll always be there.
Yeah.
The one constant.
Mm-hmm.
Alongside Godzilla.
Right. Evidently.
Yeah, but in this one, again, bit of a tiff between her and Godzilla.
Yeah, they're back to fighting.
Right. And then he uses that atomic breath this go round and just explodes.
Amazingly, she gets hit with it once and doesn't die. Like, she's hurt for sure, on fire actively.
Right.
But as she tries to make a last-ditch effort to fight Godzilla. He's about to, like, destroy a battleship that was firing at him earlier. But before he can, he just whips right around and is like, gotcha!
Yeah.
It just vaporizes her on the spot.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Hmm.
Never thought I'd see her take a hit for King Ghidorah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What a weird turn of events.
It's so weird.
I think that, like, I'm trying to think. Mothra, I can't remember.
Yes, big
mark. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, definitely. Mothra's handlers.
Right, the twin fairies.
The twin fairies.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, that was the most obscure reference.
Right. I think don't make an appearance, but they're hinted at. Like, there are these two random girls
dressed the same.
Right. In the city.
Yeah.
As soon as Mothra shows up on the scene.
Look vaguely similar.
Right. It lingers on them for a few shots, plays their theme. It's like, okay, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
We could probably guess who they're supposed to be or who they're related to, possibly. Who knows? But yeah. That's about the only hint we get as far as anything Mothra adjacent.
What is the story with them? I say handlers because I remember them being kind of like the pseudo messengers for Mothra in some way.
They work as...
or the harbingers of Mothra.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like, put those bones back where they came from, or so help
or
her.
So...
We'll sick this big-ass bug on you.
Yeah. You've angered the larva.
Mothra does not tolerate grave robbers.
Mother Moth does not... does not condone grave robbers.
Oh, that's good.
Damn.
Right. Don't fuck with them bones.
Yeah.
You don't know where they've been.
don't touch those. You don't know where they've been.
I do.
Mother Mothra doesn't like necromancy.
that's good. Shit. Yeah, that was basically what we did.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, hey, let's just build a mechanical frame around these bones.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Why? Why would you do that? You couldn't just make a regular mechanical frame? What's the reasoning here? it's more accurate. It gives it more of a flexible frame. It's like
it's like you're asking for it to be haunted.
That's dangerous.
You may as well have also built it on a sacred burial ground.
You know how many years it's going to take to scrub that thing of radiation? The pilots, if there are any, are going to be irradiated and die within like 5 minutes.
It's all for the greater good.
For the glory of mankind.
For the glory of mankind.
Clearly.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Personal safety be damned.
Yeah.
We're fighting giant monsters. There's no time.
Right. It's
literally.
It's results first, consequences later.
Right. As long as that big lizard's fucking dead by the time the day's over, you will have served your purpose and you can die with a clear conscience.
There you go.
Can you imagine piloting that thing, knowing you're going to die from radiation? That's not even what happens. They don't even touch on that in their actual movie. That's just an idea. If you die in that thing without killing Godzilla, it would be such a fucking waste. I'd be so pissed.
Yeah. Not only is it wasting
my life for nothing.
Not only is it haunted by the ghost of Godzilla past, but also you're just like, you succeed your mission.
That's another thing. It could just go berserk at any moment if it hears the wrong tone in Godzilla's roar.
There you go.
It'll get pissed and be like, no.
And just imagine, like, you also die in there and just forever, perpetually haunting this suit with former Godzilla.
You become compounded into the machine spirit.
I'm just
here. The Godzilla Omnissiah.
Yes. Oh. Godzilla's bones may be made up inside of this mech, but my bones are inside of it in the cockpit, just sitting there.
Yeah. That's double crazy. Skeleton action.
Yeah, exactly. Double hauntings. It's just a big mecha Godzilla with bipolar disorder.
It just switches personalities.
Between a monster and just a guy going, help! Get me out of this fucking thing and bury me! Please! It goes from roaring and just fighting to just like stopping and just staring.
I'm sick of this shit!
And just staring into space going, I wish I could leave.
Somebody shut me down right now, please.
It goes from roaring and slashing to just crying. It's like, what's happening?
Crying while slashing.
Oh, man. Damn.
Oh, poor Kiryu.
But anyways, to go back around to...
Right, now that tirade's over.
Go back to the original movie we're watching. There's a wonderful fight sequence between Ghidorah and Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he offs Mothra, she bequeaths her soul power to Ghidorah.
You heard that right.
Yes. After which he immediately rises from the perpetual skyscraper grave that he was in and brings out the gold, starts hitting him up with that Midas touch.
Oh, hell yeah.
In the form of an energy ball. That promptly just creates several gashes in Godzilla's body.
Yeah.
Like the atomic breath doesn't even phase him at first. He just absorbs that shit and throws it back at him.
Right.
And it blows him, like, way out into the bay.
Yeah.
Like, completely out of the city.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. And
I love that we have a little Chekhov's gun moment.
Oh, God.
Where, there's this new rocket that is developed. And I thought it was just, like a hand drill thing that we're all going to,
something guys for, like, excavation or something man. Like that.
Right. Or, like, put inside, like, a machine that's going to man it. And then, of course,
they use it as the warhead to a missile.
Yes. I was like, okay, let's see this thing in action. And before they know it, they, like, shoot a rocket. I was like, well, what is this for? The capsule expands open, and then
it's the drill.
There's the drill warhead. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I guess we're just going to, now we're just here.
Spiral missile.
Spiral missiles, be damned.
Probability-altering missiles, dude. Yeah,
probability-altering.
This is the prototype.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, it was effective and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we bring that back towards the end of the movie, and we use that to try and pierce the hide of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Right. Of course, the hide of Godzilla be a bit too thick.
Yes.
And he just shrugs it off like a few mosquito bites. There was also,
as he does for most things,
right? Exactly. We were making jokes about jets, like I think three jets trying to fight Godzilla. Whoopty fucking do. Haven't seen this before.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stop. You've heard this before.
Exactly. And they throw a couple volleys at him. He explodes all over. And I was like, ah, yes, the equivalent of a gnat.
Yes.
And Ethan's like, I don't know what the fuck kind of gnats you've been having to deal with, bro. And from then on, it was just anytime Godzilla is on screen currently exploding from missiles, it was just me when gnats.
Yeah, me
or
when.
Or me when mosquitoes.
Yeah. And I just imagine a mosquito bites you and just explodes.
That'd be so. I hate them even more.
But it doesn't actually hurt you that much more.
It's just annoying. It's just annoying. It's like a fire. It's like a firecracker.
And I just imagine Dylan being outside. I told him, I was like, I just imagine you being outside by a campfire going, ah! Just like flailing your arms around like Godzilla. And there's just explosions.
Get
all
the park spray!
Where's the off? Yeah. So
oh, man.
That's fun.
It's so good.
But yeah, again, in short order, he just, I mean, right. He takes out every last one
of
them.
Oh, yeah, the missile launchers and the infantry. Why you would send out infantry when there is a giant monster is beyond me. Unless they are using weapons that are appropriate to fight against this thing, you do not send people.
It's as if they never learned.
This thing.
Oh. God. I want to be.
You want to talk about punching above their weight class?
You talk
the
about
the country of Japan and their consistent attempts to thwart Godzilla and his rampages
with inferior weaponry,
nothing less than the most hard-headed and stubborn examples of fucking inane. Like, oh my god, what are you thinking?
Yeah,
develop a new weapon.
Right, you think that's gonna be better than last time?
Exactly.
Spoiler alert, it's
you're
not.
Just wasting money and resources.
Damn, dude.
That's taxpayers funny. Do not exist in Japan. It's just wage slaves.
Damn.
The military industrial complex and its consequences for Japan have been astronomical.
That's wild.
God. I could not live in Japan in this universe.
No. I couldn't be part of the military in Japan in the universe. Because the second I'm like...
You better have some boss-ass fucking incentive. Like, I don't know, free food and money for life.
The second I get
for the duration of your term.
The second I get my orders as an infantryman to go out there and fight with my little pea shooter gun... I would say, respectfully, I'm declining.
No, sir.
If that's a dishonorable
discharge,
I'm
going home. I'm not. If it's still there.
Yeah, yeah. If I can.
Yeah. See, but that's the real kicker. If Godzilla's already destroyed your house or killed your family and you're in the military,
you know what?
You got nothing.
All right.
You might as well.
I mean, but even then, I'd be like, but it ain't worth it.
Nah,
I'm just gonna. I'm
I
just
lost
gonna,
everything.
I'm gonna evacuate, dude.
I'm gonna give this lizard such a pinch on the ankle.
Okay. I'm glad.
As long as
he
feels it, I can die happy.
I'm glad that you have that gusto. But I feel like if I lost everything, like, I'm not gonna throw my life away now. I still have a chance to evacuate and start a new life somewhere.
I mean, yeah, sure.
You're right. I get it.
But if you could have fought Godzilla, wouldn't
right,
you?
You're right. I would have thrown a couple shots and gone, cool, I've had my fun.
No. Right. I put a few rounds in him. I'm good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Job finished.
The second he heads in my direction, though, I'm out.
Yeah, no, it's a... You know. Sorry, sir. I can't fight an earthquake that walks. Yeah. That ain't going to work for me.
What did you say a second ago? He's a tropical storm?
Right, he's like a fucking natural disaster.
Exactly, right, right, yeah.
It's like asking someone to to dry up a flood.
Right, quick, there's a hurricane coming. Stop it.
Here you go, son. I got you a bucket.
I got you a bucket.
I would have given you two, but I had to give the other one to your copar.
There you go. Just make sure it doesn't flood.
Right.
All right.
If the water gets too close, just start throwing it somewhere else, over your shoulder.
You know how it goes.
That's great.
What a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, at the end of this fight sequence, the same sort of thing happens where Godzilla charges up and just obliterates Ghidorah.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like right there in front of him. And it's
even after the power-up, he doesn't stand a chance.
And, I mean, and it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if they use, like, some really big, like, either fireworks. A lot of times they use practical explosions, fireworks, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
for like the building destructions and other like previous Godzilla films have done that, whereas like they're like the practical explosions or actual pyrotechnics and stuff. But this one feel like they had like a little extra. Like when the, especially whenever the Ghidorah explosion
whenever
happened,
he kills Ghidorah, it is
it felt like there was a it felt like that whatever pyrotechnics they used for it had a little bit more how do you say this? Like the older explosions were like, it's an explosion.
Right.
And you could see it and there's smoke and it's like a bow, like a firecracker.
Right.
Where it's just like a flash and smoke. This was like, there's
some high yield shit.
There's a, there's some flash, there's smoke, but then there's like lingering fire in the air.
The flames.
Like, but it doesn't feel like CGI fire.
No, that
like
shit
the,
was real.
Like the flame kind of like, that, like ripples out like fire does.
Yeah. That was an actual explosion.
Right. And that was, I was like, damn, that looks legit.
Right.
But it's not
where
just
the hell like, they get that from.
It didn't just feel like a like an explosion. It felt like they like they had like they gassed it up a little bit. Which I mean that's probably what they did. So. Right. But anyways.
Yeah, it was it's super cool.
the technical work on this film a lot of, like I said, like the suit, like little minor things about the suits were interesting.
Oh yeah.
The destruction of the buildings.
I love the gravel pit set for his fight with Baragon.
Yeah.
That place looked so fucking cool.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of really cool locations. And that's another thing I've realized about these movies is because I've been doing more research and more work on like filmmaking stuff, a lot of times the way teachers and other people, like classes and people you watch on like YouTube and stuff, they'll tell you about, is when it comes to film stuff, like the best thing you can do is watch other films and like pick out things that like stand out to you.
Right.
So like, for instance, if you're trying to get into like Foley work, or you're trying to like understand better of how sound design works in a film, the best thing to do is to like watch a film and catalog every sound you hear.
Yeah.
And like every possible sound, footsteps, like anything that could be added or filmed in the moment, because a lot of times they add every sound afterwards.
Yeah.
They don't usually film all that stuff, or they may film it on set, but they don't film it during the like actual like filming of that scene.
Right.
So like I've been told before, like if you want to get into sound design, watch a film and just like catalog all the sound you're hearing. And of course, like look at that list of sounds. And of course, if you're going to make a scene, think of it from that mindset of like, okay, well, if we're going to be seeing this, I need to have this checklist of sounds. The same thing can be said. I'm going somewhere with this. Sorry for this tangent. The same thing can be said
you
about...
You act like we didn't just go on a whole tangent.
You're right. I had your tangent with the Mechagodzilla and the radio. But the other thing is doing that same sort of thing for locations or like scene locations as well as like props or costumes. And like the more times I watch these Godzilla films, like the number of locations they have is kind of astronomical.
Yeah.
Especially for a movie that I don't think has, I mean, I think it does have a big budget, but I think that budget goes towards other things.
Right.
But it just, it shows in some of like the costume design, the props that they have, and like some of the sets that they've either built or like the locations they're on. I watched probably the better part of half this movie and was like, they have like each scene is like a unique location.
Yeah.
Or if not a unique location, some sort of pre-built set that they have like built for themselves.
From the ground up.
Right. And it's like, oh man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But because a lot of times that's one thing you'll notice with either lower budget films or like short films specifically, is like the number of locations is very small on purpose. And that's actually kind of like, so I've watched some short films that was one of the like selling factors is like it's a short film and it's all filmed in like two or three locations.
Yeah.
But they're like, but the locations are utilized well to where you can't really tell and that kind of stuff. But that's interesting to see from these films that very diverse.
Oh yeah. It's always a highlight too. Mm-hmm. I love seeing like all the behind the scenes work that goes into these sets.
Oh yeah.
Especially like all the cities, dude. Like mm-hmm. I can not imagine how long it takes for them to build these things, only to have them blow it up and just destroy it completely.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is a dream of mine to be able to work on one of those sets, even though I'm sure that the era of the guy in a rubber suit has passed, but I can hope.
Right.
It'd be really neat.
Yeah.
Hit me up, Toho, please.
And that's a... That's got to be a fun job. I mean, yes, it's got to be meticulous, and it's got to be
right, super detail oriented.
Like it's got to be, how do you say this? Like, it's got to be equal parts satisfying
mm-hmm.
and tiring,
arduous to be sure.
I can imagine if I go into a project knowing that I'm going to build this set with the sole purpose of it being like demolished.
I mean,
it's one thing to create a piece of art
mm-hmm.
and obviously like hold it dear to yourself and go, I'm going to cherish this piece of art. And then to have it be exploded would be heartbreaking. But yeah. if you're building something with the sole purpose of like, okay, Godzilla's going to crash into this.
That's the art.
That's the fun.
That's
right
my
there.
Contribution.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to make this look pretty as I can for the, or as realistic as I can
right.
for the screen. So that whenever Godzilla crashes into it, it looks mm-hmm. like a giant lizard is smashing into a real building.
Right.
Which
is
cool.
It's going to be the most satisfying piece of pottery to break.
Oh, right. So
stock
that's what
pot break sound.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I think that it's more enjoyable than I think people would give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty fun.
One of these days.
Just imagining it.
If I don't get hired, I'm going to do it on my own.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're just going to go in the backyard and
build a little mini city.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the suit.
Okay.
And then we'll just go on a rampage.
Okay.
It'll be perfect. We'll make a day of it.
How do you know if it's even feasible to get a Godzilla suit?
Of the originals?
I mean,
I'm sure there's collectors who might be able to buy them off, but I want to say they're like on display.
I think they're national treasures, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah, that's not something you could get a hold of easily. But I believe they are kept in storage or in a museum of some sort.
Right.
Because they don't last. They wear out.
Really?
Yeah. You see some of the pictures of the old suits, man. It's terrifying.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough.
Yikes.
But I can only assume because of the way that they're made that it's not easy to maintain them.
Right.
Like, even in some of the old Showa era films, you can see it, like, just flaking in some parts and places. But, I mean, besides that, I wouldn't even know how to go about making your own, if at all possible.
Yeah, I don't even know either.
Mm-hmm. Hell of an idea, though.
Yeah.
I mean, people have done it for cosplay before. I've seen a few examples. I just don't know how they do it.
There may be some information online about it, like what materials they used in the like original series or the some of the original suits.
Right.
What they did, because that's got to be pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, now I'm pretty sure you can make a suit now that is more rigid or a little more durable. I can imagine with those, again, with a lot of film sets, you want to build it as best as you can.
Right. It's going to be on the big screen.
But as cost-effective as you can as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there probably was some corners that were cut. And then, of course, that ends up following through with, you know,
right.
flaking and falling apart of like, well, we didn't plan for that. But also, we all, yeah. you know, we're kind of wearing the shit.
To last this long, honestly.
Exactly. We're also, you know, putting it through its paces. Because I can only imagine, like,
how many explosions, quote-unquote, are set off on this thing or next to it.
Yeah. Well, now also, like, he hits things with the tail, he falls into buildings, so it's not just like a, it's not just like a showpiece.
He's
like
clumsy.
Well, I mean, in his defense, he gets pushed around by, Monster of the Week.
Right.
But yeah, I can imagine, if it was just like a standalone monster that just kind of like, wah, and of course his special effects happen around him, those suits probably last a long time.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's like, okay, now go run headfirst into that, into that building. It's like,
okay, what you're going to do is get a running start, do a jump kick, and Anguirus is going to go flying like a soccer ball.
Yeah.
And Godzilla's going to try to go for the... the defense, but he's gonna miss, and he's gonna fall flat on his face like a dumbass.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It will
about.
Be the single greatest scene next to the tail drop kick in the entire franchise.
Super great.
Mm-hmm. If you think that, if you think that's good, I cannot wait until we watch Godzilla versus Ghidorah.
Oh,
because there's another one.
Oh, no.
On par with that, if not maybe better.
Get Out.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna
be hard to top.
Yeah.
If not, but trust me, you'll see.
For any of our new listeners, because I know there may be a handful of you guys that have not listened to a lot of these episodes. There is a Godzilla movie. Mm-hmm. Is it Godzilla versus Anguirus? Is that the one with the flying kick?
No. That's Godzilla versus Megalon.
Okay, Godzilla versus Megalon.
With Jaguar and Gigan and all
that. Gosh.
The greatest movie in the whole series.
You want to talk about just, I mean...
the hypest shit you will ever
watch. The hypest Godzilla shit you ever seen, dude. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you have to... and I've said this on this podcast before, but I'm going to say it again.
Right.
Every time I get the chance to, I'll sing its praises. Mm-hmm. Godzilla versus Megalon is just fun.
It's peak.
You have to go into it knowing that this is a bunch of like dudes in suits fighting.
Yeah, a bunch of dumb campy nonsense.
But it's also like it's
a perfect
piece of history.
A perfect storm.
There is a drop kick, and I'm not going to say anything else more, but it is some of the...
it's the greatest drop kick ever.
It's the greatest drop kick ever performed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, if you get the chance.
Every day you don't know about it or haven't seen it is a disservice to yourself.
And don't watch it with someone who's going to be a grumpy person
right,
about
a
it.
Negative Nancy.
A negative Nancy about this. Go into it with someone who's going to be able to laugh with you.
Somebody fun.
Because the fact that you and me were able to like sit down there together and just like, man, what every time I've seen that, it always brightens my day of like, man, how hype is that, dude?
It's the best.
And Jet Jaguar.
He's just holding him steady. It's like, all right, buddy, go for it. Come on.
Hit him with the move. I've always known Godzilla, but I never thought he would ever have like a quippy sidekick companion.
Right,
that's
a fucking wrestling, a pro wrestling partner in the form of a man-made robot.
Love it. I mean,
it's perfect.
I can't say anymore. Mm-mm. But anyways, it's fun. It's great. It's some of the many reasons why I love Godzilla.
Oh yeah, that one is chief among them for me.
And this franchise, I think we've done ourselves a little bit of a disservice, though.
Oh,
we haven't seen Godzilla Minus One.
Oh yeah,
we haven't seen that, and also, I don't know what the name of it is, but I know it's Godzilla versus Kong 2.
Oh yeah, Godzilla X Kong.
I think
the new
Empire?
Something like that.
Excited about that.
Yeah, that looks fucking crazy.
Oh yeah. I mean,
Getting into like the Showa type stuff.
I know, and I love it.
It's perfect. I love it. It's coming full circle.
Whenever you first showed me the new films, and we started seeing some of the more campy old stuff and the really good classic stuff, and this new MonsterVerse has expanded.
It's so nice because I think they realize they just have a blank check to do whatever the fuck they want because of how crazy the originals are.
But it's also they did a good job.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing is that they did a good job on the first few ones of getting it established, got a serious tone. You got some really good cinematic stuff in there. You got some world building stuff. You got some amazing like human characters that were able to flush out this whole, this whole network of people and so there's a lot of things going for it that I think now they're able to afford that blank check where it's just like you can kind of just do whatever you want now.
Go wild.
Go buck wild, dude. And I think that's also...
It's part of the appeal.
It's part of the appeal, dude.
It's the only series I know of that I can go to for shit like this.
Right. I mean, it's the same sort of thing that made Pacific Rim, like, as fun as it was. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's robots. It's massive robots.
Pacific Rim is perfect.
It's big aliens, but it's like, it's also, like, serious, mm-hmm. but then also it's funny, and, like, it doesn't take itself too serious in some moments. Mm-hmm. And, like, anyways, there's, like, a whole, it has that blend of things that I think that, like, it's it really appeases that inner 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Or that young boy spirit yep. for me, where it's just
the
like
the young boy spirit.
Yeah, you know how it is. I'm
that
just like,
sounds like an album name.
Yeah, yeah. It's my new album name.
Oh my God.
But that's what it is. It's like, I want to see Godzilla and Kong beat the shit out of something. Mm-hmm. When I feel like it's
oh, we've definitely said whatever you're about to say before.
You're right. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the original Godzilla X Kong, go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. Do yourself a favor. It's wonderful.
Right.
It's a great film. But the fact that we were in the theaters
yeah.
and I started seeing some signs that maybe Mecha Godzilla may show up.
Yeah.
And Dylan was like, there's no way.
There's no way. Not this early.
There's no way they wouldn't do that. And then lo and behold, there comes Mecha Godzilla.
He just shows up.
And then it's Godzilla versus Kong, or Godzilla and Kong versus Mecha Godzilla. Right. I was like, bro,
this is the greatest piece of film
yeah.
I have ever seen.
I was like, I didn't know I wanted this. I didn't know I needed this, but yeah. I definitely did. Mm. And it felt good. It felt great.
Right. I don't say it often because it seems cliched at this point, but that shit made me feel like a kid again.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. It's yeah. like that. It subverted expectations because like none of the, and I love that. I love that. None of the promotional material.
Loves it.
I love, well, because none of the promotional material talked about Mechagodzilla. Oh, yeah. No one knew about it.
You just didn't
know. No, there was no talk about it. There was no even mention of it in any of the stuff. It was Godzilla versus Kong.
Right.
The whole debate was
heavyweight match.
The whole debate was who's
going to. Which team you on? Who you repping?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, I don't know.
This is a Godzilla neighborhood.
Right. Me and my Godzilla boys out here are like, man, I don't want to see King Kong get, you know, clobbered on, but like, I'm a fight for my guy.
Yeah. I'm all for the lizard, man. You can't beat him.
Especially for the Monsterverse Godzilla, like I said. Yeah. That like, I mean, that muscular boy.
Right. The crocodile.
Yeah, that wide head. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn. He's got a cool design. Uh-huh. I'm like, I like that Godzilla.
Yeah.
He's cool. Mm-hmm. And anyways, and so like, and that's what I'm hopeful. It's like I want to see the new Godzilla X Kong, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen any promotional material for it. So yeah. I just want to go in.
I'm steering clear until
I just want to watch it and just mm-hmm. do the same thing like I did before. Just like be pleasantly surprised,
right,
by the journey I'm going to get taken on, because that doesn't happen very often.
Right,
a lot of times I feel like the trailers or a lot of the promotional stuff just breadcrumb trails the whole movie out or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's been said forever, but you know. Anyways.
It is what it is.
It's one thing to be excited about something, and then, of course, for the movie to deliver on it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times there have been movies, the sequel Star Wars, I have been anticipating something, and then, of course,
I get a nothing. Piece of shit.
And so I was like, or I get something that feels very offensive. You know, it's like, oh, okay, like
this is poopy.
Right. So it's a breath of fresh air. Yeah. To be excited about something, and then of course to be like, "Holy shit,
it's just as good as I was hoping!" Yeah,
right. Oh, and also,
or better.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting there to be a giant Mecha Godzilla there,
right?
Which is great. So yeah, but I also
and with the old surprise Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, I haven't heard or seen. I haven't heard any spoilers or seen anything, but like I've heard nothing but people singing the praises of Godzilla Minus One, of saying they go in for a little fun Godzilla movie, and it comes out to be like a pretty strong emotional story. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Because I also love that as well.
Harkens more to the original, I would say.
Right. Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla can come in many facets.
Right.
He is a complex individual.
Yeah.
Well, great at storytelling.
Depends on what
moods he's in. Oh, well.
Or if he's possessed.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's what I'm, I wish we would have seen Minus One in the theaters. And I feel upset.
I had schedules chock full, work to do. It was the same thing for the Gurren Lagann movies.
Ugh. When did that happen?
That was on the 17th and 16th of February.
Oh, so that was recent. Oh,
damn. Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
That sucks.
Yep. But it's okay. Maybe they'll do it again.
Maybe. That's why I really liked investing in that sound bar.
Oh, yeah. That made all the difference, dude.
Yeah. I've
anytime I hear like the actual speakers for the TV, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said this to people numerous times, especially when it comes to like filmmaking stuff or if you're doing any kind of video making things. Mm-hmm. If the picture quality is not quite up to par, that is less of a burden than if the audio quality is even a little bit bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I have noticed, and this is probably a big generalization, this is something that I can speak for personally that I believe in, but I've also noticed that people feel this way as well whenever I have questioned them about it or at least done some A-B testing.
Right.
If the video quality is a little bit lower quality, but the sound is crisp and there's no skipping and everyone can hear what's being said, people 9 times out of 10 will just watch it all the way through. Right. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the second, even if it's crystal clear video and there's a problem with the sound,
it's either
it pops or squeaks or the quality's low or whatever.
Just cuts out.
Sometimes I can't get people to pay attention for 2 minutes. They're just like, I can't. It's too obnoxious. It's too whatever. And so that was the whole reason why, one of the many reasons, our TV is like a big Vizio TV, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's seen better days. I'm pretty sure it got dropped at one point.
Probably.
So there's some like dead pixels. There's like a whole, on the left side of the screen, it's got like a little, it's a whole line of them at the very end. It's all like screwed up.
I'm
or whatever.
So glad it's on the end.
I know, exactly.
Not like smack dab in the middle.
Right. So to be honest, like the picture quality, like besides, like I said, the one or two dead pixels, you can like kind of point out in some scenes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. Like it's not a bad picture. You can see everything. It's clear enough, but it's not like, we're not talking 4K here.
Right.
I'm not setting records over here with the frame rate of this TV. But but what I have done was I spent probably $2,300 on that sound system in there. I got like a really good sound bar with a nice subwoofer that
the whole shebang.
And buddy, ooh,
it's perfect. I'll never forget the first time we watched the end of Evangelion in there.
Oh man!
And that scene where Asuka starts fighting the mass-produced demons.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude, it was perfect.
Oh, that scene is so emotional. Yeah. And I'm telling you, sound carries an emotion.
False Regeneration will forever be one of my favorite tracks from that entire series.
Yeah, that's a hard scene to watch.
Yeah,
even out of context.
Right.
Even if you don't even know the context of it, you'd be like, "Ooh,
damn,
that's traumatizing."
Wow.
And it hurts even more whenever you watch the full series.
Yeah. Oh man.
And the movie, and you're like, oh, okay. I didn't have to.
Right. Could have done without that.
I didn't have to deal with all that sound.
Right. But yeah, this is a great great Godzilla flick.
I was going to go ahead.
As usual.
I was going to wait for you to try and dig us out of that one because I was like,
no duds whatsoever.
Because I was like, I don't know how to segue out of that.
It's okay. I started.
I'm traumatized. Anyway. The sadness came back.
I really did start that, didn't I? I'd be looking forward to more Godzilla in the future because I still have plenty to get through.
Whenever Minus One comes out on DVD or Blu-ray,
immediately.
I think we need to go ahead.
You better believe.
We need to get that episode locked down
because
I want to watch it so bad.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
And let me get this right. You said that it's not made by the same people that made Shin Godzilla? Okay. Because I thought was there supposed to be a sequel to Shin Godzilla?
I don't think so. They had some, like, deleted scenes as well as, like, concept stuff that didn't get brought through.
Okay. I think I'm going to be talking about
that. Yeah. But that was about it, as far as I remember.
There was, like, a concept of, like, Godzilla, like
humanoids.
Kinda, yeah.
Like at the very end, that scene where it zooms in on his tail and they're like coming out of his tail.
Yeah.
That's where it was going to build off of. But God, that was,
oh yeah,
that was terrifying.
That is terrifying. Like, talk about evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's got to be scary.
Mm-hmm. It definitely would have been. It is.
Yeah. Well, I believe I've talked about everything I need to talk about for this
Yeah,
film.
I think so, too. We touched on all the bases.
I just wanted to say, for anybody out there who was wondering, I am fine still. I am still no-lifing Grand Blue Fantasy Versus. Mm-hmm. Rising. Oh, God. Relink.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just...
All of the above.
Just Grand Blue. I'm just... Mm-hmm. I'm just falling hard for granted.
I'm granding, and I'm blue, and I'm re-liking.
This really is a Grand Blue Fantasy re-like.
Oh my god. I still can't get over the one profile description I saw where it was just, and then Grant said to Jita, I'm going to re-link our fantasy. Just the dumbest shit.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna relink our fantasy. Oh, wow. Oh, dude. That's great.
Uh-huh.
I still, like, whenever I got past chapter 8, and chapter 8's name was Relink, and I was like,
damn.
Oh, that's why it's called Relink, because they were gone, and now they're back together again.
Yeah.
As if they're relinked or something.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah. I didn't put two and two together for that moment. I'm kidding you. I didn't even thought about why it was called Relink. I'm just like, I'm just playing this game.
Right. Here we go.
Vibing
been
out.
Been waiting for this for years.
Yeah, here I am. Got over 3/4, over 80% of the way through the game. I'm like, that's why it's called.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, that really makes me think.
He really did relink our fantasy. Oh man, that's funny.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, but I, no lie, I've been like with whatever spare chance I can get from work and from, you know, podcast stuff and trying not to fall asleep. Yep. I've been playing a little bit of.
It's a hard game to put down.
Playing a bunch of Relink.
Oh yeah.
I'm nowhere near as far as Ethan and Dylan have come, but I'm getting there.
All in good time.
Got my guy up to 100.
Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
I think that's gonna be our cue.
You can tell. You can tell what time of day this is. I'm gonna have to throw a curveball.
Can you? Remember, if you do, you may or may not receive a cake.
Mm-hmm. That is again for all of our new members.
Do we still have the cake? Are we keeping that motif?
Yeah, we don't. We don't. Don't bring it.
But we can say we are.
Oh, okay. Then yeah. We definitely have a cake wedding for the person who is able to guess when we actually record this show.
Okay.
On a pretty consistent basis.
All right, good.
But I don't think you can actually.
We got a nice supply. We can spare a couple at the very least.
I have the timestamps. So if on any of the episodes, if you can give.
Right. The exact second, mind you.
I was going to say within at least 1 minute.
Nah, that's too easy.
Okay. Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
They're entire cakes, Ian. We can't just give those things away for free.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, I think Dylan has more strict rules in this cake business than I do.
I enjoy my cake.
Okay.
You got to earn it.
He just can't eat it, too.
All right. Yeah, I'll let you look at it.
Yeah. Dude, we got cheesecake.
Oh, my God. I fucking love cheesecake. If there's one thing I don't think I'll ever get sick of, it's cheesecake.
Dude, there's a buddy of mine. And I was, I don't want to out him. But
we'll call him Cheesecake Man.
Yeah. No. Definitely a Mac and Cheese Man.
Mac and Cheese.
Yeah.
Oh shit. You're right.
He had made a whole bunch of food for this like get together we were all. This whole get together we were having, and he brought up this like
some of the finest cuisine you will ever see.
It's got like, it's like this aluminum pan kind of thing. And usually I have like, I take home like little styrofoam.
A hallmark of quality.
I usually take home like little styrofoam containers.
Right.
But it was, he gave me a like a metal.
Oh yeah, he went all out.
Aluminium pan.
Aluminium.
And I went and put all up in there. And then he sent me home with a cheesecake and was like, here you go. And I was like, damn, dude, I'm freaking...
Here I go.
Here I go, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've saved my day.
I could cry.
I will cry.
Dylan actually shed a tear as we were eating cheesecake and mac and cheese.
Like, it's so and good. Oh, this must be what happiness tastes like.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking for ways to find us, you can just type in The Aftermath on all the major podcasting platforms and find us that way. Or I've been asking people to go onto YouTube and type in at Hindsight Studios.
Right. We got a proper upload.
Exactly. And if you're, and that is the place where I want you to send comments. I want you to talk with us. I want you to engage with us. Like the videos. To comment on the stuff. Subscribe to the channel. Because like it's got that is like the place where the About Nothing podcast is at and where The Aftermath is at. And I can check all the stuff there and it's all one place. Super easy to read it all. And I've read a couple of comments. Super cool. And I appreciate it all.
Now, I'm going to make a little addendum on that with us and put that in quotations because chances are if you... try to talk to me directly, I might not respond.
No. You had to talk to Dylan through me. I'm
like you're a fucking messenger bird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, I have all the
your note from the comments. Sir.
Here's your comments section. Yeah. I just email it to you or text it to you.
Oh god. It's like, oh cool. Yeah. And then just won't look at it.
Yeah. I just always get an influx of comments being like, hey Ian, send this to Dylan, and it's just like
cool. Be like, oh man, this dude called me a loser. Wow.
It's just called cool Gundam memes. That's all it is.
Shit, he got me.
It's like, ah damn it, maybe I do like you guys.
Right.
But anyways, that's all. Yeah, dude, go into the YouTube channels, try and subscribe, and like I said, comment and stuff. It's been it's been really cool to be able to see some responses for all that kind of stuff and all the episodes and everything like that. But anyways, until next week, thank you so much for listening.
See ya.
Bye-bye.